Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Listener, open your ears. Take your bloodstream. Find a portal of safe entry and inject the sound of our voices into your veins. Don't do that. It's actually ridiculously toxic in the bloodstream. It can harm no less than five major organs. But you're going to do it anyway. Because this is a class one narcotic, and it is college football. And the best part is, it's totally legal. Don't tell the DEA. Joining us today to discuss week one of the 2016 college football season. Yeah, we said it. Week one. You're here. You are here. Sunday. Actually, Saturday. And also Monday. And Thursday and Friday. Games, games, games. No school. If people say they're school on Friday, they're lying. Your kids can stay home if you don't have kids. If you have kids that you don't know about, guess what? They can stay home too. That's not legally binding. They can just come over to your house. You don't have to admit paternity or maternity. Notice we included both genders there. That's fair. It's a holiday, a damn five-day holiday starting on Thursday with what? What kicks us off? What gets us from point A to point B, puts the nitro in our engine, lights the candle on this Roman candle? What? What of all things sets the fuse ablaze? I ask you, Ryan Nanny, master of the repellent unranked team versus unranked team game, what gets us started to begin America's best sport involving unpaid labor having dollars in value stolen from them? Game gets us started?
We're not counting that crap-ass Hawaii-Cal game, are we?
Exhibition.
You mean where Cal basically decided, hey, we'll schedule the homeless shelter of college football and we won't even play them at their house because we scurred?
Like, that? You know, it makes sense to call Hawaii the homeless shelter because you can live outside. It's fine.
They actually have rats in the locker room from what I think Matt Brown reported on that. What did this Cal win do for me? Nothing. Davis Webb looked fine. The Cal defense trash.
Best part about Cal football is this, that the improv show that was Drew Carey. It was originally a British show. Whose line is it anyway? Yeah. They're the Whose Line Is It Anyway? Yeah. Where the points don't matter, the yards don't matter. We just make up a score and that's the end of the game. That's Cal.
Cal football at this point is the basketball player who's entering the NBA draft and you're like, oh man, this kid can dunk. He can't do anything else, but he can dunk.
I had them as J.R. Smith.
No.
Three. Doink.
No. J.R.
Doink.
J.R. got a ring. What do you got, Cal? Nothing. No, I fucking hate the Bears.
Yeah. That's because you are the number one Stanford fan on the internet. That's the game I was referring to. Which, by the way, the Cal Hawaii game, I watched in a hotel room on vacation while drinking a bottle of room service Prosecco.
That's like the rap lyric from somebody who is telling you that they used to ball even when they didn't have money. Stayed up all night drinking Prosecco, watching Cal Hawaii.
That's exactly a riff-raff lyric. If Action Bronson hadn't said that, I'll be damned.
It's true. I finished my vacation on a real Action Bronson note, right? All I had to do was like list an obscure beverage, Prosecco, which is fairly obscure, right? Like Action Bronson will just drop Mango Lassie. Like, you know, oh, I can do that casually, right? In a hotel watching Cal Hawaii. Yeah, that's an Action Bronson lyric. Mm-hmm. But I was watching it, and it was so great because you're like, if I missed a play, I was like, this doesn't matter.
Listeners, please tweet.
None of this matters.
Please tweet pictures of Action Bronson at Spencer and say that it's him. He loves that.
He loves that's that great. Shit.
Yeah, because I weigh somewhere between what? 200 and 700 pounds. That's the public perception. They'll find a 350-pound man in a green beard. Not even the right color beard.
He could have fallen in a pile of hay and this would be like, yep, that's Spencer. Clean shaven, but he's got all that hay on his face.
They could tweet me one of those things that you can buy at Cracker Barrel or any fine restaurant that's actually a man with iron shavings on his face that's magnetized, right? That some child has arranged in the correct shape. And they'd be like, look, it's you.
As long as it's a bearded man who's low-key thick.
That's it. That's the other thing. They're like, any bearded man who's low-key thick, they're like, yo, dude, I saw you at a Yankees game. I'm like, first, that man weighs 315 pounds. Easy.
You've entered Scott Van Pelt territory, right? Any bald white guy with glasses, somebody will say is Scott Van Pelt. You've also kind of entered Bomani Jones territory here, so congratulations.
Damn, right. You are a gigantic media personality at this point.
But without encountering... Gigantic, literally. I'm 500 pounds.
Oh, shit. I forgot you weigh 675 pounds.
Right? Like
I didn't
Kevin,
mean it like that.
Like Kevin Gillespie, right, will show up from Top Chef, and someone will be like, yo, dude, I saw you cooking a pig. Kevin Gillespie's like 5'5", okay? His beard is nuke red, all right? He's balding, which I'm only like 30% like thinning at best. And they'll put it on there and be like, oh, that's you, dude.
There's got to be a Duck Dynasty cousin who looks like you. Has to be.
Several. There's actually like two. Because I've had pictures sent to me. And like, it's not like, oh, man, I don't look like that ugly guy. No, man, I'm ugly. I know my brand. I look like a 120-pound freshwater fish. That's my brand.
That's that fish is between 200 and 700 pounds.
Yeah, what's his 120 top?
That's true, yeah. It's a sturgeon between 200 and 700. It's one of those monster ones that you see in, like, Ukrainian news feeds, right? Like, we pulled this out of someone's drain pipe because it was confused and swam into it, which, to be fair, I would do.
Terrorist fish owns the Volga.
Anyhow, the handle is EDSBS.
EDSBS.
Just go ahead, Google image search, thick beard man, and send him everything you find.
Hairy fish. Google hairy fish. Send that to Spencer.
Just go ahead and Google image search man and send Spencer absolutely every image you have. Send him a zip file if you can.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mail him a zip drive.
If you have the transporter from The Fly, put all of the members of Mumford & Sons in it so that you get one person at the end. Take a picture of that person and send it to Spencer. It you.
Put lead singer Tim Tebow's brother. They look the same. But yeah, that's
we missed
that's
you.
Fun.
Hey, welcome back. We missed you last week.
Hey,
so.
Hey, how is Montana, buddy?
I'm going back. Fuck y'all.
Oh, shit.
Sucks.
We done ran off dad again.
I'm going away. Yeah, dad needs some more cigarettes in Montana.
They got real good ones?
They got the best ones. That's one of those places where I did actually get complimented on my car, my rental, by a guy I'm pretty sure was a white supremacist.
Okay.
That's a good moment in your life when a guy's like, hey, sweet car, brother. And you're like, thanks. And you look at every single one of his bumper stickers and just triangulate like,
yeah. Yeah, like, no. what exactly do we mean by brother here?
I was like, how insecure do you have to be a white supremacist in Montana? You're just surrounded by white people. You got to be saying that you're the best white person in all of Montana. That's a competition. There's a lot of them. You got to be like the apex white person in Montana that's to like, assume you're white supremacist.
That's like the Hemingway lookalike contest in Key West. That's yeah, competition, man. Also, Ernest Hemingway. That also is what Spencer looks also, like.
Yeah, it goes basically just Google a Hemingway competition and send that to Spencer.
Yeah. Draw a picture of Orson Welles and Ernest Hemingway making out and send that to Spencer.
Also, send that to me as well.
I was going to say, you can send that to all three of us. That's just beautiful. I do know this, that's like being in L.A. and being like a dude with stupid hat supremacist. Because as we know, Los Angeles leads the entire nation, great city, in men wearing stupid hats. Adult men wearing stupid hats. I'm talking ages like 18 to 80. L.A. is one of those places where a 70-year-old man's like, I can dress like a 17-year-old. It's fine.
This college football podcast is going great.
It always does.
Week one. I was teeing up long ago, Ryan, for the game on Thursday, a national tradition, the hallowed mistletoe beneath which we all meet and kiss. Okay. What team rings us in every single year as the first team to somehow inexplicably roll out of bed without taking the curlers out of its hair and take the field, whether they're ready or not? Who is it?
So the answer you're looking for is South Carolina. They're playing at Vanderbilt, a game which Stephen Godfrey described as he wished he could be at. He lives in Nashville because it would be like watching two of your neighbors get into a car accident and just standing on the lawn hoping they're going to slap fight. But this year, South Carolina.
I feel like that implies the cars can move, though.
Well, I mean, you can back into each other. There's nothing wrong with
that. I think it's more like one of you parked in front of the other's driveway.
South Carolina, not the first SEC school to play this season, though, because half hour before that game starts, App State going to Neyland Stadium in Knoxville. Tennessee just needs all the attention this year. Can't let South Carolina have a damn thing. Move their game up. Mm. Just to steal Will Muschamp's corpulent throne. Crapulent.
I'd go crapulent because corpulent would imply that they had been fed and had success. Which, yeah, no, you're about to go on a python feeding schedule, South Carolina. That's how Will Muschamp like pythons. They eat once every 6 weeks.
So we get to watch them try to swallow Vanderbilt whole, and possibly if Vanderbilt gets sideways inside South Carolina's python gullet, I guess the Gamecocks will suffocate and sort of bloat, but Vanderbilt will die inside them. Is that right? Did this go off the rails?
Yeah, you know, this is an accurate representation of how this game will go. Do you know how it's going to be decided? On a fumble. That's how these games go. There'll be a fumble. Now, the positivist, the optimist will say, this was really a game where one defense decided to take the game away from the other offense. Sure. Okay.
Sure.
I like that, you know, the game will be decided on a fumble. Yes. A fumble that results in a score? No!
A fumble in the fourth quarter? Also,
did not,
no.
Did not say that.
Also, it'll be like it'll be like a fumble in the early third quarter. You'll be like, yeah, man, if Vandy hadn't fumbled that ball, they would have kicked the game-winning field goal with 12 minutes left in the third quarter.
I like this, that God bless our South Carolina Black Garnet Black Attack. They do a very good job covering this team.
They do.
It will be difficult to cover this team.
It will.
Because right now, Will Muschamp says, it's a real advantage right now that they don't know who our starting quarterback is. Sure.
Yeah, sure. It could be the teenager. It might not be, though.
Hey, people, listen. What's one of the most popular board games? Clue.
I put my quarterback's name in an envelope. We all got to wander this mansion until we find out how he's going to beat Vanderbilt. Will it be with the candlestick? Probably not. Will it be with the gun? No. That's a passing
wrench. Wrench. We talk in wrench.
Wrench? That's pretty much your only option.
The mansion is a Hardee's.
The mansion is. In South Carolina, every mansion's got a Hardee's, son.
But do you know about the secret passage in the Hardee's?
If
you're 18 and up, yes, you do.
Was there a dance club in there? Okay.
Sure. South Carolina Vanderbilt, a game we will watch. I like the annual nature of this South Carolina game because it's sort of like opening your worst Christmas present first, so you can sort of look at yourself and be like, I'm grown. What did I get all excited about? Like, this is just a day like any other day. And other Christmas presents will be great, but because this is the first one, and it's a belt, you're just going to say, man, it's fine. Like, you know, I'm just lucky to have a Christmas at all.
Honestly, I'll be watching App State Tennessee instead of this because, you know, App State could make a game of it, very well could make a game of it. But if they don't, then we get to say, oh, okay, Tennessee, you beat the, you know, FCS or whatever team. Like, okay. Yeah, you know, you get to make a lot of noises like that.
You're basically just watching for the point where, you know, where they run out of little life bar, where they run out of depth, right? Like, that's just going to happen.
So, like,
eventually a guy weighing 315 and another guy weighing 260, you know, that 45, 50 pounds, that's going to show up eventually.
So,
and
this
that's
is
what's going to happen.
App State is the RPG character that accidentally wandered into the dungeon that they are like 30 levels away from. And they're like, all right, I guess, yep, I'm going to attack this dragon now. All I got is an empty bottle and a shield made of toilet paper. Here we go.
Like, you were a really cool merchant back in the first town,
yep.
But shit, bro. I mean, like, to me,
great conversating.
you delivered your lines impeccably.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing about this game is either we get to laugh at, oh, shit, Tennessee's locking up in a big moment again. Mm-hmm. You know, they're pulling a Vols again. Or we get to say, you know, none of this matters. Who cares? You didn't impress anybody. Be gone.
Can I ask the toughest Thursday night question of both of you?
Sure.
How much of Oregon State at Minnesota are you going to watch?
Not zero. A second.
Zero, not 1 second.
Okay. That was
actually, no. Well, let's see. That'll be the late slate. Yeah, I'll watch some of it. That'll be the only game on for a while. So yeah, I'll be suckered into that.
Okay.
No way. I'm going Montana State at Idaho. I'm going lower. That's an ESPN3 game in the Kibby Dome.
Oh, it's in the Kibby Dome. This is our last season to view the Kibby Dome in FBS, and this is probably the last. Yeah. I'll see you guys there.
So before we give the Kibby Dome back to the Badgers, we've been leasing it from this.
Also, Montana State could win that game. So
yeah, exactly. By the way, that is of course Montana State at Idaho in the Kibby Dome. Kibby Dome, least beloved structure in college football. Like, the Kibby Dome, like, I don't even think people in Idaho like it because they think it is some kind of, like, state funding boondoggle that turned into, like, it's basically a giant Quonset hut, right? Like, the old army structures that are just a half circle of metal kind of coming out of the ground. That's what the Kibby Dome looks
they're
like.
They're going to film season two of Stranger Things. They're going to film in the Kibby Dome.
Mark Mangino is probably a less beloved structure, but it's close.
We love Mark Mangino.
But more resolute, goddammit.
Yeah, Thursday night's pretty bad. I think the way it's going to go is me watching Rice at Western Kentucky on CBSSN. That's what's going to happen.
Get CBSSN. Damn, you rich.
I know, man.
I will watch a little bit of Indiana at Florida International.
That's the secret, like, ticket on Thursday night is to watch Indiana at FIU.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Because it's Indiana. I will always watch Indiana because they are Team Chaos.
Before we get to Friday, y'all want to take a question?
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
From Ferdinand Chubb on Twitter, what's the longest you went between the first day of a class and the first time you showed up to that class, presumably college? I'll let you gentlemen go first here.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say right out, I don't have a good answer here. I was a nerd. I was a good student. I went to the classes. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Spencer. Just go.
Okay. The longest I believe the longest that I went between showing up for a class. What was the drop date? How long did you have between start and drop?
I want to say you had 2 weeks or so. Does that sound right? Maybe three.
Something like that. Under a month, I want to say.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the answer would be never, because I signed up for a class that I never showed up to.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
What was the class?
Yeah. I believe the class was Arabic, and I don't know how I even signed up for it because it wasn't like I wanted to take it.
Sure.
It's not a language I've ever wanted to take. And it just came up. And I believe we had to have the discussion of, you can keep the money. That's fine. I just didn't even know I was signed up for it.
Right.
This happens more often than people know.
Does this still happen now in the, like, highly computerized? I mean, I'm not saying you're old, but I do picture you, like, having to
mail in
your class selection and send it by pigeon.
No, we called it in. That was, we were...
Step up to the UNIVAC. Punch your card, and the UNIVAC will decide which math class you'll be taking this season.
People of a certain age who attended the University of Florida will quiver when I say the words, "Welcome to Telegator." Because Telegator was how you signed up for
that, class. That was barely in existence by the time I was there, but I am aware of it.
Yeah. Not quite online generation, more like bad modem generation. So... somehow I managed to sign up for this class, and I think it was Arabic. And I just ultimately, if you just go in, and I find this works in many departments in life, if you just walk in and you say, "Hi, my name is Dumbass, and I've made a colossal mistake.
I've lived up to my name."
At no real cost to anybody, right? That's the way you get away with it, is to say, "I gave you money for something that I did not, in fact, collect. And I am not here to collect that money back. No. I'm just here to ask that you take that thing that would be a complete zero, like no work done or contributions made at all to that class, and take it off my record."
I would like to piggyback off your story briefly before we get to Jason. I took Arabic for a semester in college. I did it on purpose because as I stated at the beginning of this, I was a nerd. I'm sorry about that.
And you wanted, now do I have this right?
What?
This was for a career with the FBI.
It was, but I also legitimately liked foreign language classes. I took a lot of them, so.
Okay.
5-0.
In my Arabic class.
Ryan is police.
Ryan's 12.
In my Arabic class on the first day, somebody showed up. He did not return for a second day because I think this gentleman learned that this was not the class for him. It was a little maybe more than he thought he was biting off, and that's fine. He made the choice to drop the class. But Spencer, this is when I tell you that Joakim Noah made it to more sessions of Arabic class than you did.
I'm so proud of him. Oh my goodness. Way to go, Joakim.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep.
So Spencer, to be clear, you did drop that Arabic class in time?
No, I didn't drop it in time. But remember,
okay, so you were stuck with it.
Well, I was stuck with it. However, I remember going at the end of the semester, if it was Arabic, it's a very long time ago. If it was Arabic, I was able to just go in, and at the time, which again, thank goodness for the era of face-to-face decisions made without a permanent online record, I was able to just say, could you just...
Can we just incomplete this?
Let's just both walk away and pretend this never happened.
Yeah, and I think that was fine. I think that professors know that too. Like, if you never show up, they're like, "Oh, this person doesn't even know they're supposed to be here."
Well, I'm proud to say that I think I'm the stupidest person here, because I can't even decide which example to use. I had a freshman history class. This was summer term, you know, where you're taking like two classes a day and all that.
Yeah,
and I actually went to this class, which is pretty good, and walked away with a C, which, okay, that's a pretty low achievement, but at least I made it through, and all that. Walked in and looked, and somehow, after the grades were posted, realized I'd been going to the wrong room the entire semester. Wrong teacher, wrong room, right course, wrong time, wrong everything, and went and walked to the nice person in the office and said, "Could you maybe just slide this?" Oh, and she just sort of looked at me like, you know, gave me that look that said like, "Oh, this happens all the time, but not really. You're the first fucking idiot this stupid to pull this off." There was that. This is probably a junior year Brit Lit class. They're stupid thing number four. I'm an English major. And this was probably the wake-up moment for me when I realized, like, you know, when you're in your 20s and you think you know what it's like to work hard and like, "Oh, everyone's riding me to, you know, do my best and shit." And then you have that moment where you kind of realize like, oh, fuck it. I should probably buckle down and learn how to be a grown-up now. Like, this was the moment for me in my life when I realized like, oh, I'm actually not 12 years old anymore. It was Me and some friends were out at Taco Mac. Spencer, you know Taco Mac.
Oh, and, yeah.
And someone said, like, hey, how are finals going? And I looked up, like, oh, shit, and realized I had a class that I had not attended yet, and it was now finals time.
Wait, you did the thing that literally everybody dreams about?
Yeah. I skipped an entire semester. And here's where I'm going to spike the football on you. I walked in for the final and walked out with a D because it was on Ozymandias, the poem, and I analyzed the shit out of it. I can tell you all about the assonance and all that in Ozymandias, and I can get a D.
You just walked out with, like, hands in the air, like, yeah!
I just...
Yes, I realize this will not actually advance me toward course credit toward any sort of a diploma, even from a Georgia public university. However, I invested 1.5 hours of my entire life into this class, and I still didn't fail, bitch.
So you threw a Hail Mary touchdown in a game that you were losing by 85.
Yeah, I got 7 points though, didn't I?
Didn't get shut out.
No shutout, baby. Go Gators.
What on earth are you going to do if ever your daughter, who we love and would never wish anything ill upon, comes home with academic troubles?
Oh man. Yeah, today she wrote an essay about, like, how good it feels when, like, mommy and daddy tell her she did a good job at school that day, and it's like, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You are, you know, already smarter than I was until, like, 8 minutes ago. So just please, good Lord, keep it up. Please keep it up.
Good. God. Let's talk about Friday. Friday's pretty... I mean, look, yes, I'm going to watch every minute of Stanford pulverizing Kansas State. Imposters. JUCO welcoming assholes. Because that's what... I'm not about that. Stanford is a place where you go for life. That's why it's called the Stanford Prison Experiment.
You know,
that's what you gotta call your defense now, man.
You know what I, as a natural-born Westerner, will be watching? I will be watching the Rocky Mountains' finest rivalry.
Colorado State, Colorado.
Oh, in Sports Authority Field, Denver. An environment like no other. We're the Broncos.
I mean, like that's Trevor that's Trevor Siemian's town now, buddy. You better watch out what you say.
That's Trevor Siemian. Are your friend.
Oh, Mark Sanchez, you impossible dipshit. How did you lose a starting job to Trevor fucking Siemian?
His last name's Siemian. You should have been able to beat him just on an evolutionary basis, oh, Trevor Siemian.
I almost got beat by Chad Octopod.
I got beat by Steve Cordata. Goddamn. But yeah, I will be watching Colorado State, Colorado, because I have a soft spot in my heart for the Buffs, mm-hmm. and always will, even though they're not playing at... This is, by the way, you have two stadiums with beautiful backdrops, and you choose to play this in Denver every single year, which, I mean, I know, I get it. It's a rivalry game. You want to act like it has some significance beyond a home and home. It probably doesn't. Still an entertaining game, by the way, most of the time. Especially because neither team can pull away from the other. Just can't happen. Neither team can conclusively get the edge on the other. So I'm excited to watch Colorado State, Colorado for stupid emotional reasons that have no reason with the otherwise subpar quality of this game. That sounds like the opening weekend if I've ever heard it.
Friday's the day where it's like technically it's college football, but maybe spend some time with your family. Just maybe, please. You know, just a little bit.
Go outside and go to bed early. That's the plan for the entire season. Friday college football is always garbage.
Yeah.
And no other evidence is needed than Mac Brown is talking about it.
Yeah. Sefo Lifau. There you go. Watch it for Sefo Lifau, the quarterback of Colorado. He's dual threat. He's like, imagine Colorado's version of Bradley Van Pelt taking way too many hits, except without the glorious flowing hair.
You made that sound French. Is he French?
No. Sefo Lifau is Polynesian. Okay. Descent, I believe. But yeah, he's 100% Colorado Buffalo now, baby, which means he'll probably just miss a bowl game and go 5-7.
Yeah, I mean, that was our prediction. I'm going to ask this question to lead us into Saturday. And this is
Saturday.
This is how I want us to talk about Saturday to start with. This is from Jake Self at Sake Jelf on Twitter. Which week one game would you most enjoy seeing an upset in, and why?
Ooh. Well, Maryland beating Howard right there. That'd be a big one. In all seriousness, if we are looking at the Saturday schedule and looking at upset potential in terms of, you know, the emotional satisfaction you would get from watching one team on Saturday upset another.
I got a good one. I actually don't know who's favored in this game, so maybe this wouldn't be an upset, and I apologize if that's the case, but North Carolina beating Georgia. North Carolina beating Georgia.
I will say this. Karmically, North Carolina's owed.
Sure.
They are owed because what happened to them last week or last year in the opening week of the season? They lost to South Carolina in the worst year of Steve Spurrier's tenure.
Yeah.
Right? In the opening. A game which, by the way, might have helped keep them out of the playoffs.
Certainly kept them out of the playoff conversation for a long time when they shouldn't have been necessarily. I'm very clearly biased here. I'm not going to say anything positive about Georgia pretty much all season long, but yeah, that would warm the darkest cockles of my heart.
So if UNC has a karma debt, what does Georgia have? Are they? I guess they're just karma underwater.
Yeah, well underwater, like repo, like program. The program, I can't decide whether like Mark Richt and his long record of underachieving has either set them up for one long payoff or you didn't take this, so we're just going to go ahead and burn your house down.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you fired a pretty good man, so.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, if I were writing the script, because I'm biased, Georgia fan, I would like to see you suffer a good 4 to 7 years of complete misstep, misery, mismanagement, and otherwise just hateful, despondent failure for 4 to 7 years at the hands of another Saban disciple who was hired away from the home office when really what you want is the manager who owns the whole place, not the sort of like dilettante little guys who surround him, right? Because that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
I want you to feel that pain, okay? It's nothing personal. It's all about my twisted need for you to feel my sorrow.
Now, if we're not talking just about personal avarice, pain avarice, and we're just talking about what would be most amusing in terms of upsets, real high up there, I'm going to say Fresno State beating Nebraska in Lincoln.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
On Big Ten Network at night, everybody, I think the general sense I have from Nebraska fans is they've all sort of come to terms with last season, accepted that. They lost a bunch of close games. They had a bunch of dumb coaching mistakes late in games, but still, the team was not as bad as the record showed, and they had a nice bowl game. If Fresno State beats Nebraska on the road, I'm pretty sure all of whatever healing they've done, the scars will just erupt.
It was like, man, my God, we need to hire an asshole. We got to get Greg Schiano in here. We need to hire just the meanest coach. We need to hire Bobby Knight. I'll go you one better just by sliding both the time zones out a little bit.
Yeah.
This will be a noon game, but it will be 6 a.m. local time for the road team, Hawaii at Michigan.
Oh,
after Hawaii just flew across the planet Earth to arrive in Ann Arbor,
yeah,
where the huffing and puffing Jim Harbaugh awaits with his number 7 ranking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to happen in any stretch of the imagination, but.
No, you could sim that on NCAA 100 times and it wouldn't happen once, but the question was not realistic.
That's
upset.
That's a good point.
Let me give you a couple of other little lights to see. If USC somehow upset Alabama. Now, I mean, I think any game where a quarterback makes a lot of mistakes and your team commits turnovers, you could lose.
Sure.
Like, that's feasible. And I think people forget that USC, despite being ranked 20th to Alabama's 1, they're going to go, wow, that's 19 spots better. USC, same ridiculously talented roster that they usually have. They do. It's not like they stop raking in talent, okay? It's just that they stop developing it and managing it as well. Any team with that much talent could just catch a couple of breaks, right? And when Alabama loses, it's generally because its offense completely misfires, and there's a couple of, like, huge breakout plays in offense from the other team. USC is more than capable of doing that. Is it probable? No. Is it possible? Yeah. It's totally possible for Alabama to lose that game, okay? Don't ever let a number one ranking just sort of like automatically file one team into that. It doesn't mean anything. Alabama is more talented than any team in college football. But if they make mistakes, they can lose.
USC itself has proved how little a number one ranking means.
Correct. You beat me to my next line. But yes, that is absolutely true. I also have a couple of FCS versus FBS specials.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions about FCS teams that could beat FBS teams. And there are some. I have one, but I want you to go ahead.
Okay, good. Because, one, there will be, I think they still win this game, but South Carolina State at UCF. UCF, one of the worst teams in college football.
How many games did they win last year again? Remind the people.
Would that be one?
No, it would not.
Lower. Were they unwinfeated?
They were.
They will now have
more statues built to George O'Leary than wins in George O'Leary's last year.
My God, they took the donut.
For everybody who's confused about why UCF decided to collect a bunch of money and build a statue to George O'Leary, given his, let's say charitably, checkered history with that program and just overall, kickbacks. The answer is kickbacks. Anytime there's a nonsensical construction project approved in the state of Florida, the answer is kickbacks. Here's the FCS upset possibility I like best. Happens at 3:30.
Is it in the Pac-12?
It's not in the Pac-12.
I'm shocked.
I think that one's a given.
I assume. First of all, if you're talking about Rutgers at Washington, you should know that Rutgers is an FBS team.
What bullshit?
It's crazy. Aww. It's crazy.
I need to see the receipts.
They made the leap. Good for them. 3:30, Charlottesville, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Your Hoos host the Richmond Spiders, and Richmond is not a bad FCS team.
Preseason FCS number 4, Richmond.
Yeah. Virginia is, you know, starting under a new coach, figuring some things out.
Not number 4.
That has possibilities, for sure.
I thought you were going to Martin Stadium in Pullman, Washington, where, in true Mike Leach at Washington State tradition, a loss to an FCS team, Washington, a good FCS team,
yeah.
Right, rolling into Pullman at Washington State. If they lose this game, Washington State's going to a bowl game. That's been the pattern.
Right.
We're going to go ahead and pick up on it.
Same time, different conference. TCU, number 13 in the nation, hosts South Dakota State. This would be the FCS victory that would cause the most ripple effect chaos because, by the way, this is
South Dakota State Jackrabbits, correct?
Yes, correct. Uh-huh. One of my favorite mascots.
This was the team that last year almost pulled off. I will say their name, and I will say it in the manner that it should be addressed.
Yeah.
Fellow FCS member Kansas. Yep. Remember they almost beat Kansas last year?
Probationary FCS member, I believe.
They beat Kansas on a it was like a flubbed snap or something like that.
Kansas like didn't get a snap off at the end of the game or something.
Kansas forgot how to time management.
Oh my God, I'm going into anaphylactic shock just thinking about the end of that game now.
Yeah.
That's what we have to offer in week one, folks.
It's a mixed bag.
let me hit you with Eastern Kentucky at Purdue.
Okay, good. Cool.
I might take EKU straight up, man.
Basically, this is any football team at Purdue, but EKU has a pretty good program. And I'm also going to point out FCS number 5, Northern Iowa at Iowa State,
yes.
Which is under new management.
Yeah, that one. That's. I feel like that's going to happen. I'm sorry.
Also, Iowa State has sort of made a thing of losing to FCS teams.
Go ahead.
No one really knows why they're in the Power 5.
It's important to have signatures. That's fine.
I take that straight up. Oh, a game.
this should be a neutral site game. They should have that.
They should play it at Kinnick and just rent it out.
I mean. Iowa, I mean, how loud would Iowa fans hoot at that?
Iowa fans would show up.
Go UNI! Yeah. Yeah. I would go, by the way, like one more on this.
Yeah.
If I could just interject we have two little late night things. There's obviously Clemson and Auburn.
Yeah.
Which I just don't see a team with Deshaun Watson losing to Auburn. I don't, especially with White Sean making a start at Auburn. if you're listening to this for the first time, yeah. we will actually explain this joke to you. The idea being that a quarterback's name works best if it can be presented both forward and in reverse, i.e., if you have a name like Jameis Winston, you can reverse it. And what is he? He's Winston Jameis. Obviously bound for greatness as a quarterback and as a quarterback only because you can reverse his names, right?
Montana Joe.
Montana Joe. Legend in his field, okay? Holiday Carlisle. Stafford Matthew?
No.
No? I know. I think that's an extremely Georgia name.
That's some Yale shit.
Yeah.
Lambert Grayson?
Sure. God. That's like a kid that grew up with Batman.
I guess Georgia gets its own special, like...
Dispensation?
Yeah, like special rules here. Like, Georgia name is a whole other different kind of thing than name.
Applewhite Major.
Sure. Yeah, we'll take anything.
Jefferson Jordan.
Yeah. I do declare.
I do declare. Jefferson.
That's
Jefferson
a fine Jordan. Quarterback.
Miller Braxton.
Sure, yeah. There probably is a child named Miller Braxton in Columbus. He's three.
Robinson Denard.
Middle reliever for the Orioles, I'm going to say.
I like Ayub Joe.
Yeah, that's I think he's the cruiserweight champion right now.
Yeah. Ayub Joe. Barkley Matt, you know? Actually, Barkley Matthew is a fairly classy name. I will take that. In this one, Sean White, a.k.a. White Sean, who today, Brett Venables, the defensive coordinator at Clemson. Can one of you tell me the phrase that Venables used to describe White Sean at quarterback?
Was it sneaky athletic?
He said sneaky fast.
Sneaky fast.
Sneaky fast.
Also, which shade of brown is White Sean as far as his skin goes?
White Sean.
Does he live up to his name and to his sneaky fast description?
He lives up to the name.
Yeah, Sean White, in case you missed, is very Caucasian.
Is he like, to the point is of he ginger?
His hair is a little reddish. I don't know if he's like, I don't know. He's not quite Andy Dalton ginger.
No, few are.
He's like Brandon Whedon ginger, though. Like, he's in that firm category. And was described by Brent Venables today as...
Sneaky fast.
Sneaky fast. Can't just be fast.
No.
So, PFT commenter, put that in your column this week. Can't call Sean White outright fast. No. Why Sean's got to be sneaky fast.
Sean White, possession quarterback.
amazing snowboarder.
He never drops the ball. Yeah. Steady quarterback.
He hands off real well.
Yeah.
And then BYU at Arizona. Like, I don't know what to make of BYU. Frankly, don't know what to make of Arizona. Little curiosity late on FS1 at 10:30 p.m. So there's all kinds of cool stuff to look at on Saturday. A nice little finish up for when you're out of booze and just like, sure, I'll watch Fox Sports.
I did really like that Arizona in this year's movie spoof thing that they did went with Gladiator. You know, the movie about the sport where unpaid prisoners fought often to great injury and or death for the amusement of the rich and powerful.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cool.
Is there some sort of a connection there you're trying to make to this sport or anything?
What I'm saying is we need more tridents in college football.
Okay. I thought you were just to say, like, there needs to be more tigers on the field.
Or the Nets. The Nets are good, too. Not the basketball team. Just actual Nets.
No.
Listen, you could give the Cal defense Nets and they'd still give up 700 yards a game.
Oh, and Cal is eating the net.
Cal is caught in the net.
Yeah, Cal defenders throwing each other into nets. That's how that would work.
Yeah. Oh, Cal.
We do have two. We have another question to ask. We should totally get to another question before we hit our bookend games, which, are, by the way, are whoppers on both Sunday and Monday. Yeah, this is from @JogMartin on Twitter. What school would be best candidate to replace its fight song with "Nuck If You Buck"? Nuck If You Buck, if you're not familiar. I believe this is a crime mob song. Classic.
Are you about to bucksplain?
I'm about to nucksplain.
I'm sorry.
Classic Southern fight song, like literally fight song. Like if you put it on, it's legal to like punch the person next to you. But you kind of have to do it. So which school would be the best candidate to replace its fight song with Knuck If You Buck? Okay, let's be very honest. Okay, if we're talking about the players, it would be the University of Georgia.
If we're talking about like literal fit, it's the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Mm.
Right?
They do
I mean, I get that it's on the nose, but also Ohio State people kind of want to fight all the time anyway.
Yeah, but are they going to be like, you know, oh, no, Machine Gun Kelly, that's real hip hop, you know, and like try to talk to you about like bone thugs? I don't know, man.
Fine.
I don't know if those people have ever heard rap songs.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I think when you go, man, Ohio State fan, do you like rap? And I'm not saying this to you extremely hipstery, rap literate Ohio State fans. No, I'm saying that to the guy who sits next to you.
Right.
Okay. The guy who you go, do you like rap? And they're like, yeah, ICP, baby. Like, yeah, those guys. you want to say like, no, that's a joke. No, it's not.
Or like listen to it just so they know what to tweet at recruits.
Been listening to this guy, 2-1 Savage. He's amazing. Or Little Uzi Vert. It's French, I believe. Vert.
Little Uzi Four Verts. I don't approve of all this, the passing, but.
I know, it's a little too frou-frou for me and my Woody Hayes jeans, so, but I got to know what to talk to the kids about.
Who are you giving it to, then? Is it going to Georgia?
No, because I can't give them a good thing.
Thank you.
No. Right?
Thank you.
Yeah, I can't give Knuck If You Buck to them. So what I would do, if I was going to give Knuck If You Buck to any school, I'm just going to go ahead and give it to, like Georgia Southern.
I don't know, but you do that, and then Crime Mob gets arrested, as we learned when Migos went there, and as we learned when Young Dro went there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Any musician who steps foot anywhere near in a 100-mile vicinity gets arrested.
That's true. How do you feel about me giving it to Troy?
What if we slide it up to Georgia State? Because then we get the sight of 100 people having a riot in a gigantic football NFL stadium by themselves.
That's good.
Like having a group fight so small you actually could arrest them all. Like, they can't arrest us all. Actually, we can't.
Actually, it wouldn't be that hard.
They have three vans here. It's already, yeah, they're ready.
Where there's so few people around you in the section that somebody points at you to fight and you're like, oh, God. I'm alone.
The Jumbotron is showing just you, just your face, sweat rolling down your face.
I have been chosen.
You're on fight cam. You're on Georgia State fight cam.
Georgia State.
You're in the dome. It's time to fight.
I would enjoy those games so much more if they use that instead of kiss cam. They just highlighted two people. They were like, yeah, you got to fight now. The crowd expects it. Come on.
This has got to happen in a Miami game.
That's so completely what I would do if I were in charge of, like, Kansas football games. You know, like, you're out in Kansas.
Oh, that's so much more sad. I don't know why.
And all of a sudden, you just show one sad person, like, fight cam, get him!
He's got nobody to fight. What is this, Mr. Robot? He's going to start punching himself? What about, like, a Wyoming? Like, like a UTEP game? Someone's up on Hand Job Hill by themselves?
UTEP is a great choice.
I would just have like six cartoon prospectors, right? Like guys in like absurd prospectors outfits, right? With like fake whiskey bottles made out of stage glass that they could just go and start tuning someone up in the stands, right? Like fight cam. And all of a sudden like six rowdy prospectors just rolling up, smashing sugar glass over your head. UTEP football would be amazing. We would increase attendance by -70% doing that. But you know what? It's amazing. They have six costume prospectors who come and beat the hell out of you. You shouldn't go at all. It's not family friendly.
It's fucking awesome, bro.
Do you know you can get into UTEP Stadium without a passport from any nation? It's awesome.
They pay you. If you walk out with the title belt, you get to collect the winnings for the night.
Hello, and welcome to Local Kumite.
Like Conference USA games, if there was that big of a brawl going on in the stands, they just tilt the cameras up. Do they have cameras? They just whoever's in the press, is anyone? Do they have a press box? Whatever's going on, all the attention shifts.
I'm just dying at the like Rob Stone piece. This is gonna get. They send like Rob Stone into the stands. They send some poor intern into the stands like, you're on UTEP fight camp.
No. That's Donovan McNabb is calling Cusick games this year. Here comes Donovan McNabb on fight camp.
Oh, man. Oh, he's just hurling cans of chunky soup at you. They're expired. Why does he have those?
He's a pretty big dude.
Donovan McNabb instantly produces a huge, like, sack full of batteries. Where'd you get that?
Billy! I saved him for you.
Booing you while he takes out, like, having to perform in front of Philadelphians on you.
Oh, man. Okay, good. Let's go ahead and look at our last two games, since we've already created the hottest feature in all of college football media, Fight Camp. Speaking of a fight on their hands.
Fight Camp will not
Speaking be. Of rowdy crowds, baby, we're going to Austin, Texas.
Fight Camp will not be any use at Notre Dame, Texas. Not at all.
Speaking of crowds full of just boiling over passion and uncontrolled emotion and raging volcanoes of noise, we're going to Texas.
Can I take a quick diversion before this to show you that Texas has its priorities in line?
Sure.
This week? Yeah. Which is this, Texas Monthly reporting that the University of Texas, having solved every other problem they have institutionally, are suing a donut shop, the Donut Taco Palace in Austin. A marvelous
donut
place.
Taco.
It's a marvelous place.
Is that what? Donut and tacos or
taco
donut?
The taco
yeah,
is the donut. Amazing. Why are they suing them?
Yeah. It is a donut that resembles a human hand,
right,
with the index finger and pinky finger extended upwards and with the ring finger and middle finger tucked down. Okay?
Sure.
With the
Can it
thumb,
throw a football?
if it could have, it would be starting already, buddy. No, with the thumb folded across them, as if you were making the formation of the University of Texas's hook'em sign. They've been selling these donut since 2012, and at this point the $2 donut is now being involved in a legal motion, a cease and desist from the University of Texas filed in July that says, while the university appreciates Donut Tacos Palace's enthusiasm, UT is understandably concerned about your use of the Longhorn mark in this matter.
God bless the local law enforcement officer who got to show up and be like, I got to confiscate these. They're evidence. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Are you trying to tell me the University of Texas trademarked the Satan hand sign?
They trademarked fingers and hands.
They trademarked a human body part?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad you get to this, because this being Texas Monthly, the greatest publication on Earth, they get deep into this by first citing the Manokonortu devil horns that have been used in Italy and other Mediterranean countries for centuries. Their words, not mine. In addition to this, they cite Ronnie James Dio for popularizing the sign as a sign of, among metal fans, what had come to mean Hail Satan. Oh my God. And by the way, was in it, they quote him on this, and Ronnie James Dio says, I doubt very much if I would be the first one who ever did that. That's like saying I invented the wheel. Ronnie James Dio was so serious about the metal, he considered the Hail Satan sign to be as valuable as the wheel, which, prove it's not. Spot the lie. Write it down for me and email it to me at ryannanny@sbnation.com.
Why are you giving out the real email, you fucking monster?
Woo, there it is. It's out there. I just like that. This is all funny, but if Texas A&M went and sued somebody over a thumbs up, we'd be like, yeah, you got it. You got to protect your mark. You got to protect your intellectual heritage. Makes sense.
We'd be like, man, A&M needs money. They're going to have to buy someone out. Meanwhile, Texas, you're like, I don't know, you got $30 million in profit just lying around?
Yeah, Texas, it's like somebody else comes out and burn orange longhorns. It's like, come on. Anybody could have thought of that.
Texas A&M is suing Jesus? Yeah, man, they had 12th man before he did. I don't know what to tell you.
Look it up.
Tell me when I lie.
Do we care about the Notre Dame-Texas game? Is it of interest in terms of actual football, other than the fact that Notre Dame...
I don't know.
It's a little thin, starter wise, because of recent events.
Because of all the arrests and so forth?
Well, yeah.
at the Catholic University that with the high standards and so forth.
The private Catholic university that enjoys telling you that, you know, they're a very good school. They're a real good school. You should ask them. They'll tell you. The question I have on this game is, isn't this what Notre Dame usually does, like 3 to 4 games in the season, 5 to 6 games in the season? Under Brian Kelly, they just start losing players mysteriously. That attrition has started this early by inorganic methods as opposed to injury. That's not good. Like, I worry a lot about that because Notre Dame's super talented. Normally, they start losing players around, like, week 6 or 7, right? And then can point back and say, well, that's why we went 10-2. And they've come so close, by the way. They really have come so close to putting together, like, another national title-worthy national playoff.
Participant-worthy.
We could say another national something.
Top 4-worthy.
Yeah. So now we're just going to start losing players for other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's worrisome, especially when you look at this game going up at Texas in Austin, which, yes, I know, the University of Texas Longhorn fan tends to be a leisurely sort, might stroll in about 7:30 into the first quarter, might leave about, 12 minutes into the third. But it's still not at Notre Dame. And it's still against a defense that's going to put a lot of pressure on Notre Dame in all the worst places. So, I don't know. This seems like kind of a, I know this is a 10 versus unranked, but this seems like a really dangerous game for Notre Dame.
As we all know, Texas is going 9-3. That's got to start somewhere.
It's true. We called it.
This was also just, I mean, when they played this game last year, Texas, you got that ass beat. Beat badly.
Oh, bad.
30-3. I'm looking back at the box score here because I'm a bad person. Less than 170 yards of offense. Just terrible. Just fucking awful what you did in this game, Texas. So you should want it. You should want to really take it out on them. 2-14 on third. I mean,
250 yards coming right up.
I think the most impressive thing about this loss last year, Texas lost by 35 points. How many turnovers? What do you think the turnover margin was?
It was, I believe that it was -3 in favor of Texas, was it not? Didn't Texas like not turn the ball over and got turnovers and still didn't do anything with it?
Neither team turned the ball over. So you're correct, at least in the assumption that Texas did not just sort of fuck up the game away on isolated plays. They just got beat all night long.
Motivation's at every good. Position.
Yeah.
I will also tell you, isn't this Brian Kelly rolling in with the 2-quarterback system? Isn't this also Charlie Strong not naming his starter yet for the game? So a lot of variables at quarterback. My favorite position because the most mistakes can be made there. Yay! So if you're looking for a Texas upset, there are a lot of reasons to expect it can happen. In the sense of there are a lot of unknowns.
I will say a Texas win in this game is my answer for a question Jason has, which is cheating because I already know that he has it. But Jason, you have a question about which win would most unjustifiably have everybody saying, oh, that team is back, and which loss would have everybody saying, oh, that team is dead, right?
Yeah, this is Glenn Math use on Twitter with Fs.
Yeah. If Texas
so would this be both?
Well, no, I think it would. I think given the recent rest history of the Fighting Irish, they can probably chalk it up to that, and they have enough left on the schedule that they, I imagine, will say, well, you know, Texas is probably better than everybody thought, and we still have a lot to play for, et cetera, et cetera. But if Texas beats a number 10 team, if an unranked Texas team beats the number 10 team as of now, that stands out to me as the one that, more than anyone else in week one, will have everybody screaming, oh, they back. They for real.
They back.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like this game goes both ways. Like, if Notre Dame loses, we're all going to rush to say, oh, they're out of the playoff. You know, even though we have no idea how the committee would treat an 11-1 Notre Dame, but
I think that's the LSU Wisconsin game. I think if LSU loses to Wisconsin, even though it's in Green Bay, that's the one where people would freak the fuck out the most.
also roll this way, that if Oklahoma loses to Houston and Texas beats Notre Dame, I already know what the Red River is going to be.
Sooners win.
Oklahoma Sooners wins by like 34. Texas ran for negative 85 yards on 3 attempts. How the fuck did that happen?
The Red River rivalry, where it always feels like somebody has just woken up. Like one team just woke up, ran to the bus, got on, and shows up and gets a baseball bat to the face.
There's science to this. Our friend Michael Bird wrote this at SBNation.com earlier this offseason. You should go to that website every day. Everyone who's listening, about like the rivalries that most frequently go sideways on you. Mm-hmm. And it was Oklahoma, Texas, and Florida, Georgia, by far.
Ooh. It's fun.
Let's go to
a neutral site.
This is a fun sport.
Notre Dame's probably winning this game. We spent most of this time finding reasons for Texas to win. Yeah. Notre Dame's a more talented team.
Yep.
They should win this game. They beat the hell out of Texas last year. Done. What? Also, they have two quarterbacks. Unlike Texas. Texas doesn't even have one.
Texas has so many, it's moving them to wide receiver and kicker and whatever else.
The spoils of Austin.
Administrative assistant.
Anyway, I'll take Texas.
So is Monday's game the one that you feel least confident in the outcome?
Yeah.
Yep, because I'm pretty sure Ole Miss will win, but in a confidence pool, I put less than 3 points on them out of 10.
Yeah,
Ole Miss is going to win. And how confident are you of that? Not at all.
Yeah.
Bud Elliott started up a new game that might be out by the time this podcast is. Might not. I don't know. Where we, a bunch of us, do confidence points on the biggest games of the week. And Ole Miss FSU, it's like, I can't really go above like 1 out of 10 here. Because I have to pick this one?
I think FSU is going to win. That's fine. I think they're a good team. And I think... I don't know. I don't have enough faith
that
Ole Miss replaces what they need to quick enough. And I'm really interested to see what Hugh Freeze looks like coaching this year. I don't feel great about it personally.
Like in one of them black and white Hamburglar outfits, probably. Rebels cheating. Them cheating ass Rebel Bears.
Yeah. That's why the Hamburglar says Rebel.
This is Ole Miss's approach, and I really love them for it, which is coming from nothing to lose with a schizophrenic history of failure interrupted by periodic successes undermined by subsequent stretches of immense failure. Hugh Freeze has decided that the way to do this is to take absolutely no precautions at any point about anything that you do. So they run a high school offense, they recruit quarterbacks who enjoy throwing the ball in the coverage and taking immense risks, and running a lot of trick plays and get your defensive tackle to be your goal line back, and just wave after wave of absurdity.
Hey, man, if you want to break the track record, just cut your brake lines. You're going to go fast.
And that nothing has better encapsulated the Hugh Freeze approach in terms of football than that. Are they going to have a run game? Probably not. It's not really a thing they do.
I mean, Florida State will, so have fun with that.
They will. Florida State going to have a passing game? Probably not.
I do like though that when the presumed starter got injured just a couple weeks ago, and DeAndre Francois, even though he hadn't been named the starter at that point, sort of everybody was like, "Well, it's his job now." Most Florida State fans were like, "Good, finally, is this what we're looking for?"
I enjoy that kind of hubris, by the way, because they've had such success with a freshman quarterback before, or with a new quarterback. They're like, yeah, sure, put in the other guy. We're that talented.
Well, I genuinely appreciate that Florida State fans are not... There are some fan groups that are sort of like, no, so-and-so is a senior, and he's, you know, put in the time, and he, like, deserves a chance. You know, he's earned the shot. Florida State fans are like, fuck it, he sucks! Put in his freshman! I don't want to see that. I don't want to see this janky-ass senior who can't do shit.
FSU is the most get-your-ass-up-out-of-here fan base.
The most third-marriage fan base?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one ain't working. Plug in a new one. Bye. Bye, I'll pay for it.
We're not talking about you, Jimbo, I assure you.
Wow.
God damn.
Your hair looks nice, Jimbo. As Bomani always says, whenever Tim Duncan's hair looks nice. So what's her name, Tim?